pleasure to welcome the Reverend Mark Borregaard to the pulpit this morning. Thank you for leading us in worship today.
Thank you, Brenda. Please note the announcements as printed in the bulletin. Everyone that's seated there, you're welcome to come up front and sit behind me in the choir. I know they're trying to build up the choir for the Christmas season. So if you love to sing, you don't have to have a great voice. Just come on up and join the choir. On Saturday, November 29th at 1:30 p.m., you're invited to come to the church at 1:30 p.m., I should say, to decorate the church for the Christmas season. Please note that this is a busy time of year, and there's all kinds of activities happening. Chalmers United Church in Finch are having a Christmas bazaar on Saturday, November 22nd. And then St. Andrew's United Church in Martintown are having a Celtic Advent Eventide on November 30th at 7 p.m. The prices are all within your bulletin. Those are the announcements I have for this morning. I would call on Brenda for her recap at the session meeting.
Session met on Tuesday, November the 11th. Michelle Alexis agreed to be St. John's Commissioner to the 2026 General Assembly. The Christmas Eve offering this year will be donated to Center 105. Session received a letter from the Presbytery Vision Committee. It will be emailed to everyone who has an email address. Paper copies are available at the doors. Plans are underway for the Christmas Eve service, which will be held at 7 p.m. There will be musical guests joining us, and we hope everyone will attend. A decorating party will be held on November the 29th at 1:30 p.m. Everyone is welcome to come help prepare the sanctuary for the Advent. The organ tuner was in last week because of some abnormalities that were noted on Sunday. He found that there were several pipes that were not straight. When he returned later in November, he will bring tools and materials to fix the issue. Reverend Adams shared that the refugee family who is being sponsored by the Presbytery will live in Cornwall will be arriving sometimes over the next 12 months. Thank you.
Thank you, Brenda. Are there any other announcements? If not, let us stand for the call to worship. It's a responsive call to worship. The Lord calls us to be one, and the Lord makes us one.
Clasp your hands, all you people. Cry out to God with shouts of joy.
The Lord God is an awesome God.
The Lord rules the earth.
God has chosen us for a heritage, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves.
Sing praises to God, sing praises, for God is King of all the earth. Let us worship our incredible God.
Let us gather our voices together and sing our opening hymn. Let us start with the prayer of invocation. Let us pray. Liberating God, enable us to worship you freely in spirit and in truth. We open our eyes to the radiance of your ever-present Spirit, asking that you fill our minds with your light, our hearts with your love, and our lips with your praise. It is our sincere desire to offer not empty form, but a sacrifice of worship rich in spiritual depth, wonder, and adoration. In the name of Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us, and draws us near to you. Amen. And now let us join our voices together and sing hymn 433, All Creatures of Our God and King.
All creatures of our God and King.
And now let us join our voices together in the prayer of confession, as you'll find on the screen before you. Holy God, we confess the hypocrisy and sin in our lives, the self-righteousness and pride that creep into our religious practice. We attend to our rituals, adhere to our denominational doctrines, give alms and extend hospitality, but fail to receive and radiate the love of Christ. In our busy preoccupation with the externals of religion, we can neglect to nurture the inner spiritual relationship with you that gives spirit and life to our deeds. Our lips may be open, but not our hearts. We may bend the knee, but not the will. We may wear holy faces to cover unholy lives. We know that Jesus denounced the pretentious outer form of religion and pious practice and called for the circumcision of our hearts with renewal of life from within. But we fear to expose ourselves. Forgive and sanctify us in holy intent and holy practice. All this we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. With one sacrifice, God made perfect forever those who are purified from sin. And we who have made our confession may be assured that by Christ's one act of obedience, we are cleansed and considered without spot, a work only God could accomplish. Thanks and praise be to God. And now let us pass the peace to one another. So I invite you to shake hands with those around you. Let us join our voices together and sing hymn 373, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. I knew I had at least one child out there because I brought my granddaughter with me this morning. for the children's story. So if you'll come up, Elora, and Grandpa's got a story for you. Hi. Hi. How are you today? You feeling good? Yeah, okay. Have you ever made a promise to someone? Yes? Okay, what kind of promise did you make? You don't remember. Did you ever make a promise to clean up your room? Uh-huh. And to eat all your supper or your lunch?
Sometimes.
Sometimes, okay. You know, when adults make promises, they sometimes write it all down and have people sign a piece of paper that the promise is written on. For example, if someone lends some money to someone else, the person they lend it to often signs what is called a promissory note. That's a big word. You may have heard it as an IOU. Okay? Sometimes when people make promises, they say special things, like cross my heart and hope to die. You ever heard that before? I'm sure you did. Or maybe they tie a string on your finger to remember.
My sister taught me my cross.
In the Bible, there's a story about Noah's Ark. After a big flood, God made a promise to Noah and to all people of the world. It was a very special promise. And God did something very special to remind himself and us of that promise. Do you know what that is? Okay. Well, he promised never to cause a flood like that destroys all living things. And the sign of the promise is the rainbow. He put a rainbow out in the sky. It's a colorful bow. You've seen rainbows, right? Yeah. The rainbow was created to remind us that God has decided to shine on the whole world and to try to save it from its troubles rather than punish it. Isn't that great? Let's say a little prayer. Bow your head, okay? Loving God, we thank you for the rainbow and for the promise it points to. The promise that you will help us rather than punish us when we forget you. Help us to obey you each and every day, and so make you happy and our world a better place. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Okay. Let us pray. Loving God, help us in this time and place to be still, to be quiet, and to listen to your word. Teach us what we need to know from the scripture lessons we hear this day. May your spirit open our minds that it may be so. Amen.
The first scripture reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 65, reading verses 17 to 25. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating, for I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountains, says the Lord. In reading responsively, Psalm 16, it'll appear on the screen. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge.
I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you.
As for the holy ones in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight.
Those who choose another God
multiply their sorrows, their drink offerings of blood. I will not pour out or take their names upon my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot.
The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have goodly heritage.
I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me.
I keep the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved.
Therefore my heart is glad, and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure.
For you do not give me up to Sheol, or let your faithful one see me.
You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And reading from the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, chapter 10, reading verses 11 to 25. And every priest stands day after day at his service, offering again and again the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since then has been waiting until his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us, for after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. And he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Our hymn is hymn number 784, Thy Kingdom Come on Bended Knee.
Kingdom come on bended knee.
Our gospel reading is from the gospel according to Mark, chapter 13, verses 1 to 8. Let us hear the word of God. As he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be, and what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of war, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. But this is but the beginning of birth pains." Amen, and may God bless us to the understanding of his holy word. This is the word of the Lord. What I proclaim to you today, I do so in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The gospel reading for today is the beginning of the chapter of Mark known as the Mini Apocalypse. I know the apocalypse is that series of events which signals the end of time as we know it and the end of the world as we know it. During that time, the times of the end, it's written that the faithful will suffer terrible persecutions as evil seeks to destroy all that is good, and that at the end of that time, evil itself shall be completely destroyed. The apocalypse is a time of judgment, a time that all of us, in one way or another, will enter into or experience, whether we're in heaven or on earth, whether we're interceding for the faithful before the throne of God, or whether we're the ones being interceded for. You know, over the years, there's been many discussions on this passage from the Apocalypse of Mark. Discussions that centered, for the most part, on the horror of those days described by Jesus, and whether or not God would actually unleash that kind of indiscriminate violence, the kind of judgment that the 13th chapter of the Gospel, according to Mark, and the revelation to John describes. You know, wars, earthquakes, persecutions, stars falling from the sky, deadly pollution. It all sounds like a bit much for a lot of people. And they either don't believe it will happen, or they don't believe that God would ever operate that way. Will it happen? Well, my friends, look around the world today. It's been happening since the day the curtain of the temple was torn in two. It's been happening since the day was rolled away, since the day the stone was rolled away from the empty tomb. We're living in end times, in a time when the wheat will be separated from the chaff, in a time when God's people are persecuted and harassed and killed, in a time when all matters of evil are loosed upon the face of the earth, evils that have been intensifying from century to century as they struggle to quench the light of God. So, you know, the question isn't, are the end times described in the Scripture's real? No sane person can doubt that if they have eyes to see and ears to hear. The question is whether or not God judges the people and sifts the nations in this fashion. Whether or not it's God who allows the innocents to suffer as they wait for the final day. And whether or not God will, in the end, erase all evil from the world as described. My friends, one of the great mysteries of God is the mystery of God's judgment. How is it that the wicked prosper while the righteous suffer? How is it that God's judgment is balanced with God's grace? And how is it that God seems to use violence to bring an end to the ways of violence? You know, I have no doubt that the history of our planet over the last 2,000 or so years is a history of the approaching end of all things. And I have no doubt about who the author of violence and the horrors is. And nor should you. My friends, evil calls down its own judgment upon itself. Those who hate end up swallowing themselves in hatred. Those who are greedy consume their very selves as they seek for more and more than they have. Those who are violent perish by the very violence that they unleash. Like a giant sun whose light has gone out and which is collapsing into nothingness, so evil around us will come to an end, because nothing can come out of nothing unless God wills it. What we see around us, how we see here in Canada the Christian faith mocked and scorned and described as an evil thing by some people within the media, some people, I was going to say politicians, but some people who pretend to be running for office maybe, how thousands of Christians are being killed each year in places like Syria, Iraq, India, Egypt, and many other places for no other reasons than the fact that they bear the name of Christ. How horrors like those of Nazi Germany and Somalia and the Sudan are perpetrated by extremist groups that are loosed upon the world. How famines sweep upon certain places on the earth while food is being discarded and fertile earth is buried under, you know, parking lots for shopping centers and malls and the likes. My friends, all this cannot be blamed upon God, but it can be seen, it can be used by God to accomplish his purpose. And it can be seen that out of what's happening around us, a new life will come. Jesus says in today's gospel reading, according to Mark, that the largest and most important building of his time, the temple, will be destroyed. How there will be wars and rumors of war. How nations will rise against nations. How there will be famines and earthquakes. That such things must happen. But the end is still to come. That such things are but beginning of birth pains. What we see around us is the ending of the old world and the coming of a new one. And there isn't only mercy in the coming of the new world, but, you know, there's mercy in the length of time that it takes it to come about, for the old world to consume itself, to make way for the new. Yes, my friends, there's a mystery in God's judgment. And part of this mystery is this, that God allows evil to practice his arts upon the good If that wasn't the case, you know, really, none of us could really be called free. And that while evil is practicing its art, an art that will surely lead to its destruction, God calls each and every one of us to change sides and to become citizens of the world that is yet to come, the world that he's bringing to birth in our midst. What I'm saying, what the scriptures are saying, is that God offers mercy to all who desire, and that the time of the end of the world, an end which is inherent in those forces that seek to end all that's good, that ending is extended so that all may have the opportunity to choose right, so that all who pine for it may be part of the new life that's being brought to birth. Yes, God's judgment is a mystery, especially as it relates to how innocent suffer with the guilty during the times of the ending, during the time in which we live, and how God balances judgment and justice and mercy in his judgments, so that evil does vanish, and what is good triumphs and brings forth everlasting life. This isn't something that anyone can speak light of, as if all the answers are known. All we can say as a people of faith is that God will judge rightly, and God will do good, not evil. While I was pondering on what to say on this message, this theme of the end of the world, I came across a story called The Long Silence. And it goes as follows. At the end of time, billions of people were scattered on a great plain before God's throne. Most shrank back from the brilliant light before them. But some groups near the front talk heatedly, not with cringing shame, but with belligerence. Can God judge us? How can he know about suffering? Snapped the young brunette. She ripped open the sleeve to reveal a tattooed number from a Nazi concentration camp. I've endured terror, beatings, torture, death. In another camp, a young black man lowered his collar. What about this, he demanded, showing an ugly rope burn. Lynched for no other crime but being black. Another crowd, a pregnant schoolgirl with sullen eyes says, why should I suffer? It wasn't my fault. Far out across the plain were hundreds of such groups. Each had a complaint against God for the evil and suffering he permitted in this world. How lucky God was to live in heaven, they said, where all was sweetness and light, where there was no weeping or fear, no anger or hatred. What does God know of all that humankind has been forced to endure in this world? God lives a pretty sheltered life. So each of these groups sent forth their leader, chosen because he had suffered the most. A Jew, a black man, a Persian from Hiroshima, a horribly deformed, arthritic, a thalidomide child. And in the center of the plain, they consulted with one another. At last, they were ready to present their case. It was rather clever. Before God could be qualified to be their judge, he must endure what they had endured. Their decision was that God should be sentenced to live on earth as a man. Let him be born a Jew. Let the legitimacy of his birth be doubted. Give him a work so difficult that even his family will think that he's out of his mind when he tries to do it. Let him be betrayed by his closest friends. Let him face charges, be tried by a prejudiced jury, and convicted by a cowardly judge. Let him be tortured. At the last, let him see what it means to be terribly alone. Then let him die. Let him die that there can be no doubt that he died. Let there be a great host of witnesses to verify it. As each leader announced his portion of the sentence, loud murmurs of approval went up from the throng of people assembled. When the last had finished pronouncing sentence, there was a long silence. No one moved. For suddenly, they had a flash of insight. All knew that God had already served this sentence. My friends, the writer of the letter to the Hebrews reminds us today that the gospel passage doesn't, in a way the gospel passage doesn't, that God has come among us to serve his sentence because he didn't create the suffering in this world. He came to serve our sentence and to open to us the gates of heaven. The mystery of God's judgment is found in the fact that he judges with great love. And while all that we're familiar with will be shaken to its very core, and while there will be a time where the weak will be separated from the chaff, a time which has gone around and will come around, the wheat will be saved. The good will be transformed from one degree to another. And more blessings will be poured out that the world can ever give us. A new world. Christ Jesus loves to intercede for us and calls us to live with him, both now as our old self passes away and forever as we are reborn within our world. So in conclusion, it's my sincere prayer that you'll heed the passage in the letter of the Hebrews, which says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day of reckoning fast approaching. My friend, that day is coming faster than we know, ever closer and closer. Amen. And now unto God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, all honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Our affirmation of faith for today is the Apostles' Creed, as you'll find on the screen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. God has shown his gracious love for us in his self-giving. He asks us to partake with him in the salvation of the entire world. With this in mind and with grateful hearts for all that we have, let us present our tithes and our offerings. Loving God, in your caring for a sinful and suffering world, you sent Jesus to draw all things back to yourself, a work done once and for all, yet continuing through your servants who bear Christ's name. In obedience to your call to this participation, we bring our offering of money and service to carry the good news to all in need. Bless these, our gifts, to your restorative work, and help us to bring these blessings out into the world. Amen. Let us once again unite our hearts in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful God, you who open the gates to heaven to all who call upon you, we thank you for your unconditional and totally accepting love, a love that asks us to do the best we can and which embraces us with warmth and encouragement when we stumble and fall. Help us, O God, to live by that love and to announce and show that love to all our brothers and sisters. Lord of light, source of all that is eternal, you who drive out darkness and whose will is to bring all people to a world of light, be with us in our hearts and in our minds, upon our lips and in the actions of our hands, when we see the world around us falling apart. Help us to remember that you are in charge of all things and that your hand has brought us safe thus far. And then help us to encourage others for the facing of the hour of trial. Grant, O God of mercy and compassion, of strength and healing, the tender touch of your inward spirit upon those who fear and despair this day. Blessed with a vision of joy and peace, all those who experience loneliness and struggle, pour out your energy upon those whose light is fading, and shine upon all who sit in darkness. Lord God, we pray for those in authority throughout the nations of the earth. Grant them a vision of your kingdom come to this world and show them how to make it real with their conduct and governance. We pray for your church. Help all who partake of its sacred mysteries to enter into the temple that is not made with human hands, and by their worship and obedience, their praise and their love, to open the doors wide for all people. Hear, O God, these prayers and all the silent prayers we now lift up to you at this time. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, who lives with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now let us join together in the Lord's Prayer, as you'll find on the screen before you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn number 468, Lord, Dismiss Us With Your Blessing. I seem to remember reading somewhere, it's not in the bulletin, but that they're selling pies at the bottom of the stairs. Is that right? Okay. So at the bottom, the ladies are selling pies. And now go out from this time of worship to live as those not under the law, but under grace, witnessing to the new life in Christ that is God's free gift to all. Go out to serve, knowing that you bear Christ's name, And may the Lord bless you with his courage and his faith. May he touch you with his strength and his tenderness. And may he wash you with his mercy and his love and keep you safe in his presence, both now and forevermore. Amen.